Hi, my name is Bruce McDonald, and you're listening to After the Credits on Row3.com, the best row in the house.
Episode of After the Credits. I am Marina Antunes, and joining me today,
Colleen. There you go.
Dale from digitaldoodles.com.
We're back. It seems like we've been gone for a long time.
It's because we have been.
I actually have no idea when the last show we recorded is.
Well, we recorded the October one.
October. So we missed
November. But we missed November. So.
Well, okay. I mean, in VIF tradition.
Very true.
Well, actually, no. I think we missed October because of... No, that's right.
Yeah, we didn't September. Do very many VIF podcasts.
We missed
podcasts.
October because of September.
I
was sick.
I don't think we did any VIF podcasts.
No.
I certainly didn't record any during the festival.
You didn't do any?
No.
Or interviews?
No, I was kind of busy watching movies.
And I was kind of crazy busy too.
And I was busy getting sick a lot again.
Oh.
I'm cursed.
You seem to be cursed.
I think so.
For someone who loves film, I get sick so easily.
It sucks, man.
It does suck.
We're back in Studio Burnaby.
We are back in Studio Burnaby. New Studio Burnaby. Hopefully there will be no surprise noises. Still getting used to the space. So we're fingers crossed. No, you know, crazy sounds coming from anywhere. But you're forewarned. But we are back to talk December previews.
It's a good day to be inside.
It is. It's ugly
it's
out there.
Ugly
eh?
Out there. Welcome, Grey Cup.
For sure. I thought, okay, this is going to sound stupid. I text messaged Dan yesterday when I was on the SkyTrain. I'm like, are we playing Saskatchewan? I will be the first to admit I am not a football fan. And he's like, no, wrong province. I'm like, okay. So I'm looking at the sign for, I don't know, the SkyTrain. It says, welcome to everybody who's in town from Winnipeg to watch. I'm like, oh, we're playing Winnipeg. But I'm like, you would be, if you didn't know and you saw the people that got on the SkyTrain, you would think we were playing Saskatchewan. Because like 20 people got on in these green jumpsuits from Saskatchewan. They had Saskatchewan Rough Riders all over the back.
It's the Grey Cup groupies.
They
do
it
every Grey Cup. That's their like pilgrimage every year. That's their convention.
And it was awesome.
And Saskatchewan parties hard.
It was
they're
awesome.
The land of the watermelon, man.
They're the ones with the precision, you know, the fold-out lawn chairs?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they have a precision fold-out lawn chair team that marches in parades.
They're
that
also the
awesome.
Ones that take watermelons and cut them and make helmets out of them.
I just thought it was awesome. And that's why I thought we were playing Saskatchewan, because all these people got on the train and they were all wearing the same matching outfits. I'm like, that
doesn't
is awesome.
Really matter because it's not roller derby.
Very true. That is the only sport, apparently.
You know what? This coming weekend when I'm at Whistler Film Festival with you guys, I find that so weird. Dale's included with the film festival. Anyways, at the same time, the first ever World Cup roller derby is going on in Toronto, and I'm really hoping the 3BC girls kick some serious ass.
Go 3BC girls.
Damn straight.
I like it.
8 Meme Wheeler, Lulu Demon, and Beretta Lynch from the West Kootenay Leagues. So.
Okay, the fact that I actually recognize those names is a little scary, but really awesome.
They're awesome.
They are awesome. We've turned into roller derbyers. It's kind of sad.
Hooray.
But really awesome. Okay, but we are here to talk about movies. So let's talk about some movies. Something to keep in mind with the December preview is that as with the... we're coming up to the end of the year. There's a lot of screenings that are like 1 week limited engagements in New York and LA. So
Oscar bait.
Yeah, it's the Oscar prep. So a lot of these movies that we're going to talk about probably aren't going to open wide. So just be forewarned. But let's start off with December 2nd. And one of the movies I'm most looking forward to this year, and I have a feeling I am not going to get to see it this year. Steve McQueen's Shame.
Meh.
I have no idea what that that trailer gave me nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah. Other than some thoughtful sort of like sound bites.
It's and Steve McQueen and we're being all artsy.
Exactly. That's what I got. Like art for art's sake.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Dude, he's a porn addict.
Uh-huh.
Really?
I
oh, this is like the movie I'm most excited to see.
I didn't
all
get
year.
Anything of like the story. Like, okay, so
very true. The next. trailer doesn't really give you anything of the story. The plot, as much as I know of it, is Michael Fassbender is a porn addict who's trying to deal with his issues. He follows women around, has a lot of sex, stares at the mirror a lot, and Carey Mulligan happens to be his sister. You had me at Steve McQueen and Michael Fassbender together.
Okay.
So, whatever.
Yeah, those are appealing, but there's just reading that description
doesn't really
do
give
anything.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got all girly girl when it was like, ooh, Steve McQueen has a new movie. Oh my God, Michael Fassbender's in it.
Yeah, I'm not a Fassbender lunatic like someone sitting about 2 feet away from
me. Oh, and it is getting a little out of hand.
It is.
Yeah.
That's fine,
but
though.
It's so fabulous because he's so awesome.
We all have our vices.
Yes, I have quite a few of them, apparently. also opening in limited release, Takeshi Kitano's return to mob awesomeness.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
this looks awesome.
This one caught me. This one caught me. I wasn't sure who the director was. Like, unfortunately, the names don't really stick with me.
I hear Takeshi and I instantly go Miki.
Yeah.
Well,
he's one of the few directors I write. And you know, the fellow that did The Seven Samurai. So, I mean, there's a few names I recognize, but this fellow's name I didn't. But
well,
the trailer looks great.
Yeah, yeah. And Kitano is best known for his, you know, I guess, Japanese crime dramas. He has been doing a lot more dramatic fare the last few years. So he sort of fell off the radar, but this is like their return to kickassery.
This looks exactly what I want in a mob film.
Yep.
Like, just
pretty much.
You know you're messing with the Yakuza, right?
Yep, that's right. It's pretty badass. That's totally awesome. Now, to be honest, I have no idea what Kinyard Wanda is, and I didn't actually watch the trailer because it didn't look like it would appeal to me at all.
It's a story about love between, I think it's a Hutu...
female
and
a Tutsi woman.
Tutsi, or vice versa, whatever kind of thing. I don't know.
The trailer didn't catch me. It's not my style
and
of movie
it seems
anyway.
Excruciatingly sort of
over-dramatic.
Agonizingly dramatic.
Yeah.
And it's usually nothing that really draws me.
Yeah, I looked at the description and I saw the title and I'm like, yeah, that's probably not going to happen for me. So I kind of skipped that. Sleeping Beauty. This is Julia Lee's much discussed drama about a young woman, Emily Browning in this case, who's a university student who's basically sells herself
for
money.
This is an Anne Rice novel. Really reminds me of an Anne Rice novel.
No, it's not.
Like Return to Eden kind of had that student gets involved with.
Yes.
Anne Rice had 3 books under Anne Rochelle or something.
Yeah,
or,
but those
but
are
this is, so this
no.
is
The
not,
Claiming of Sleeping Beauty.
But those are like hardcore
no,
S&M.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, this
not
wasn't
hardcore, but
this
yes,
wasn't Anne
S&M.
Rice's Sleeping Beauty. I know that.
No, but she, you are right.
I got
she
about
did
three
do,
or four chapters into that before.
Yeah,
like,
no,
whoa.
She did Belinda and Exit to Eden. I think those were the only two as
but I think
Anne
yes,
Rice. Exit
to Eden, it kind of reminded me of that.
A little bit, yeah. Not the movie,
so,
people.
Nothing
just
to
get
do
the
with...
movie out of your head because the movie is awful, awful, awful. But yeah.
So how could it not be? It was Rosie O'Donnell and what's his face?
Are you familiar with this Julia Lee? I haven't heard
of
her before.
I'm actually not familiar with Julia Lee. I haven't seen anything that she's done. No,
did you not see this at VIFF?
I did not.
See, it was on my list and I actually bought tickets and then I got sick like a dog.
Because the trailer looks intriguing. But
yeah.
It's just on the edge for me is whether or not I'd want to actually spend money to go see it.
Bordering on like Dollhouse. Like what the hell are
yeah,
you doing?
Yeah, like stylistically it looks like it's doing some interesting things with the story. Like, you know, the story and the visuals.
Yeah.
Based on the trailer, but I mean, that's not a lot to go on.
Well, no, and that's the thing. It's one of these movies that has really divided people. I couldn't see it. There was something else that it just couldn't happen for me at VIF. So I decided to wait because it would open eventually. And it does look like it's opening wide. I think it's being wrapped by E1 in Canada. So it is going to get some sort of distribution come December. I don't know if it'll be on the 2nd or later in the month. But it certainly looks interesting. I'm not quite sure about Emily Browning. I didn't think she was great in Sucker Punch. That's the only thing I've ever seen her in, so I can't really judge beyond that.
Yeah,
not a good film to judge on.
No, exactly. So, I mean, I'm certainly intrigued. It's an interesting concept, and the trailer certainly looks different, but I'm just not sure. And it's one of these divider things, you know? Moving on to December 9th. Now, this is one that I can honestly say I'm excited about.
Oh my God, am I excited for this film? It looks awesome.
So this is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, directed by Thomas Alfredson, who directed Let the Right One In. This was his first English language film, based on a John Le Carre novel about a spy, Smiley, who is like brought out of retirement to track down this guy who claims there's a mole high in the in British intelligence. It's I actually just watched they got really smart. E1 released a mini series that aired, I guess, in the late 70s, early 80s on British TV, which
there was a BBC miniseries, a famous one.
Fantastic, and it is loaded with information, and it's the kind of thing that I don't think we get a lot of in today's day and age, because there's a lot of information and you're drowning in information for the first three episodes. It's like, I had no idea what the hell was going on in the opening scenes. And by the time the first hour was over, I'm like, I am so confused. I don't know what's going on, to the point where I had to watch it again. And I still didn't know.
That's interesting, because that's one of the criticisms. So the movie is already released in the UK. And that was one of the, I was just reading through some reviews because I was like excited about the movie. When I saw it had been released, it's like, oh, okay, let's see if they think it's good.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of positive comments in spite of them saying like, God, there were points where I was completely lost.
Yeah.
Or what the hell was happening?
Well, and this is the thing. So I finished the miniseries and I'm like, okay, so how is the movie going to cram all of this information into like 2.5 hours or however long it is, right?
It doesn't sound like they did it well, but they succeeded anyway.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm certainly interested. It's Gary Oldman, stars as Smiley. Colin Firth is in here and Tom Hardy. Really? Trifecta? Can we say trifecta?
As much as I want to see the mafia sort of film, I want to see this for a spy film. It just looks like it has everything I want in a spy film, and I don't mind being overloaded with information as long as at the end of it, it all sort of falls into place. Yeah. I don't mind that at all.
Yeah. And I mean, it's certainly a movie that's targeted at an older audience who remembers those spy movies that have a lot of information. Because I don't think, you know, Mission Impossible is for the now generation, which is, it's an action movie.
Oh, I hope it doesn't divide that way. I mean,
I think it will.
I mean, I always attribute that kind of effect to Hollywood. Like, this is a British movie, right? Hollywood movie?
Yeah.
And I think that says it right there.
Yeah, exactly. Very different audience, for sure.
Well, and the producers in Hollywood just don't seem to want to take a risk on smart audiences.
No, exactly. They assume that that's all we want to see, right?
And then they get proven wrong every time a smart movie comes out.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Good God. This also opening December 9th, New Year's Eve. I will honestly say I ignored this trailer until the very last possible minute.
Yeah.
I had heard this was coming.
It's like Gary Marshall, he's still alive?
Apparently, and still making a lot of movies.
It's celebrities for celebrity's sake.
Yeah.
So it just crushes as many as we conceivably can in 2 hours.
Including Bon Jovi.
So the story is it's kind of the day before New Year's, and it's the lives of a whole bunch of different people played by a whole bunch of famous actors.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I normally go for stories like this, like Love Actually, which was a UK production with all these great UK actors.
But it's really good.
Well, actually, I mean, this story wasn't great, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And this was like, looked like the same kind of thing, but the trailer just left me cold.
It's awful. It's really bad. What I want to know is, where is Julia Roberts in all of this? Apparently, she's above this. Because she is the go-to gal for Rob Marshall.
I think
so. Where is she?
I think the funniest the funniest
making Ocean's 14
scene in the trailer was Abigail Breslin doing the Flash.
Yeah, like, that
I kind of laughed funny. There, and then Sarah Jessica Parker kind of ruined the moment with like, oh God, that's the best reaction you have.
Yeah, it is pretty.
Somehow having that Gomez girl locked in a steel cage with Ashton Kutcher just gave me the heebies. Something wrong with that.
There is something seriously wrong with that.
Yeah.
Anything else to say about that?
Or no, let's move on.
Just content.
Okay, let's move on to Jason Reitman's young adult, who is actually making a debut at Whistler.
Oh, I'm there. That's on my must-see list.
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm sort of, eh.
Oh, this one caught me.
It caught me.
Charlize Theron in the trailer scene. Yeah. I love that whole thing. And I think Diablo Cody has... Cody. Cody, thank you.
Whatever.
Yeah, she has wrote this.
Was there booze in this coffee? Maybe.
I don't know.
Only if you spiked it yourself.
Has a writing credit. And yeah, I tend to like her writing style.
Yeah, she's hit and miss for me. I actually think the story looks interesting. It's not one I'm going to run out to see.
You know, and that's the funny thing is the story wasn't that exciting.
No.
Just some of the performances with Charlize Theron,
who I really like,
looked really good. Yeah. So I'm hoping the trailer didn't have all the best scenes.
Yeah, and for those that might have missed the info on this one, so Charlize Theron is a teen author who returns home to like the place where she grew up to basically steal back her boyfriend. Who happens to be married already.
And has a kid.
I just love the fact that she was like despised in high school.
Yes.
And now she's back and she's like even worse than she was before. I'm like, oh no, yeah.
I mean, that is part of the appeal of that character is this character seems unredeemable and is coming back and trying to, do something really awful.
Yeah, because usually the take on the story is she comes back and tries to redeem herself.
Yeah.
No, she's not. No, she's just in to cause more trouble. also opening on December 9th, David Gordon Green, still in comedy mode with The Sitter, starring Jonah Hill as a babysitter.
Is this like a remake of Adventures in Babysitting?
Doesn't look anywhere.
No, because that looked, Adventures in Babysitting looked good.
And it was actually kind of awesome.
I haven't seen it, but you know, a woman takes on a babysitting job and hijinks ensue, you know? A college student takes on a babysitting job and hijinks ensue. Except this one has a kind of a creepy edge on it.
And it's kind of over the top and raunchy.
I just don't really dig on Jonah Hill.
Ditto.
Everything he's been in that I liked, it was despite him, usually.
Do you think that there's any actor that could really redeem this?
One, Dwayne The Rock
Johnson. Oh God, the pacifier.
They filmed that, didn't they?
Yeah, it was horrid.
Good God!
The pacifier was Vin Diesel.
Oh, was it?
No.
That was
the
good.
Tooth Fairy.
The tooth. No,
there was something with Dwayne The Rock. That was just horribly kids friendly.
He's made a couple of them.
He wound up having to care for his niece or some child. So it was like, you know, bachelor gets child to look after and has to adjust.
No matter how bad it is, it's still Dwayne
The Rock Johnson. Yeah! Yes, we just high-fived there.
Yeah, that was a high-five.
Over The Rock. That's awesome.
People's elbow, baby.
Oh my God. I like the people's eyebrow.
I don't
personally.
Even watch wrestling at all, and I know that.
Okay.
Okay, let's move on to Madonna's new film, which is getting panned. And I'm not 100% sure why, because it doesn't look awful.
It looks revisionist, though.
Yeah.
So it's about. Go ahead.
It's called W.E., and it's about.
Okay, when King Edward basically abdicated the throne for a twice divorcee Wallace Simpson. This is from Wallace's point of view through letters they found of the romance of the century.
Yeah.
Really? In Nazi sort of sympathizer jackass that did the world a favor by basically abdicating because we got a better king out of it.
Yes.
And you're now trying to sort of rewrite history. Oh, no, you don't understand. It was a true love. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Take your dried out husk of a brain, Madonna, and go away.
Did they ever confirm or not? Like, I remember reading they suspected that she was a Nazi spy.
I don't know if they ever could prove it, but they
were definitely sympathizers.
They hung out at Nazi parties. They openly supported the movement.
Now, it should be said that, you know, before World War II, that the jury was out. People had their suspicions.
Yeah.
So, the before the war, I'm not sure, you know, it's like, well, maybe dodgy because people were suspecting these guys were. Like when they started rounding up the Jews,
yeah, the flag it went was. Up.
But
it,
before then, you can kind of like
well into the war that they were still partying exactly, with the Nazis.
The war was in progress,
yeah,
and they were not in England,
yeah,
yeah.
Mind you, that's not the story that they're telling here. So,
well, no,
I mean,
it looks like there's a there's some sort of corresponding romance going between the person who's writing it and
yeah, and that
else.
I don't understand.
Oh, parallel story, yeah.
Yeah, and quite honestly, I don't think it looks completely awful. Though I have not liked any of Madonna's movies, so.
Yeah.
Part of me wants to be cynical and say Madonna's just trying to really, really grasp her English roots.
Well, I tell you what, she makes better movies than her ex-husband. And that is saying something.
I won't argue too much there.
That is really saying something.
Just stick to the kids' books.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, maybe I'm being unfair by inferring so much from the trailer, but from what I saw in the trailer, I thought it was a lost opportunity. I think
certainly.
I think the character would have been far more interesting at acknowledging the flaws.
Yeah.
And not having seen the movie, maybe she does more than it comes out in the trailer. I don't know. Maybe the trailer was just some marketing hype to get people who weren't familiar with history in, but
could very well be.
That's my initial reaction
to that.
King's
speech. Let's do another.
But if you're
pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, if you're hearing that it's not getting good reviews, it doesn't sound like it's a great story.
No,
anyway.
It's pretty much been lambasted.
And let's face it, that's pretty hard for a really good period piece to, you know, if you're trying to accurately do all the costuming and all that and the proper accents, not like a Kevin Costner thing. sorry, got a little taken.
Whack!
Dun, dun, dun. Yeah, no. Usually period pieces do well for what they are.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we'll see how this goes across the pond, but it hasn't done very well in Europe. And at festivals, we'll say that.
Okay, Dale's nomination for the most obtuse trailer of the
what
month.
What the hell?
Yeah, I melt with you.
Yeah.
Weird.
Talk about art for art's sake kind of weirdness.
Yeah, I tend to agree, you know. I actually really liked Mark Pellington's Henry Poulos here, which I thought was surprisingly very, very good. This I'm not 100% sure about. I quite like Thomas Jane. I like it when he's in dramatic mode. And not, you know, kicking ass. But this didn't tell you anything
other than when you're 20, you're full of hope and optimism. When you're 30,
it's a
30,
pretty shitty trailer.
You fall down a bit and you climb up. And then when you're 40 and when you're 50, you know you're closer to death. Like, what the fuck is this about?
Yeah, the trailer is really shitty. And yes, art for art's sake. So apparently the basic story is a bunch of 40-year-old guys go back to the high school reunion and revisit a pact that will change their lives.
Okay.
See,
I didn't even actually finish the trailer. I was just like, what?
I watched 2 minutes of it and
I finished the trailer. I didn't bother reading anything because if it got me nothing out of a 2.5 minute long trailer of someone
talking.
It was
3.5 minutes.
Was it 3.5?
Yes.
I don't want to read the description because you've already lost me.
You know, and the funny thing is I'm living this angst. It's like, yeah, okay. I just had my 50th birthday and it's like...
You're close to death, Dale.
And I had no affinity for this at all. Like, maybe I'm sort of your target audience here, but you lost me.
I agree. Also opening on December 9th, one that has been really gaining a lot of buzz. We need to talk about Kevin. This is Lynn Ramsey's new film with...
Tilda Swinton?
Yep, as the mother of a high school shooter.
Yeah.
Who's dealing with some issues, obviously.
This looks Great. Yes. Like Tilda Swanson or Swindon. God, why do I keep on wanting to call her Swanson? Anyways, she is.
There's something in the
coffee. She looks awesome. I love Tilda. This looks really, yeah. really good for her.
Oh, this one didn't grab me.
What was it about that didn't work for you?
I think just the subject matter was like, you know, that whole, it had that descent into madness quality that generally doesn't grab me in a movie. Okay.
I am with Colleen on this one. I think it looks fantastic. And judging from the few reviews that I've seen around town, and I think Kurt really, really liked it when he saw it too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, definitely on my must-see list.
Yeah, there's something about her. Again, Descent to Madness is fine with me because I like madness.
Ditto.
She just sells it. From that two-minute whatever kind of trailer, she sold it. She sold panic. Like,
maybe she sold it too much. I mean, if Cthulhu had shown up, it wouldn't have surprised me.
Now, that would make it awesome beyond all belief. If Cthulhu makes a small cameo, yeah, that would just end it for me.
Awesome. Yeah. Awesome.
Go Cthulhu. Go Cthulhu. It's your birthday. Go Cthulhu.
Musical numbers. Oh, God. Also opening on December 16th, or moving on to September 16th, sorry. Speaking of Guy Ritchie. Yeah.
I was just thinking, speaking of Madonna's husband.
Yeah. Sherlock Holmes, The Game of Shadows, a.k.a. Sherlock Holmes 2, a.k.a. There is no way in hell anybody's paying me good money to see this.
Wow. You know, I was watching this trailer and I was like, I can't believe I'm not interested in this. Yep. But I'm not.
Did you like the first one?
Reserved. There was elements of the first one I liked.
I know you didn't like it.
No. I love the character Sherlock Holmes. I love everything about it. It's one of my frequent reads when I don't have anything else to read. I crack open that or Andre Dumas. Either one of the two will work. There is a style about Sherlock Holmes, which as much as I love Robert Downey Jr., it's a mockery. It's a complete mockery.
I didn't see it as a mockery, but I know what you're saying. Like they've taken a fairly intellectual, a story about someone who's very intellectual and takes a very intellectual approach to solving, and they did it, made it into an action film. And I applauded the new take on it, like, and if they had pulled it off, but to me they didn't pull it off. So it wasn't the concept didn't like. It was just the fact it's like
it didn't work.
Good try, but it didn't work
for me. As much as I absolutely adore the BBC televisionized Surrey Sherlock, which puts it in modern day, which makes it even harder in my mind,
which I saw and I love,
unbelievably good. I think the Guy Ritchie Sherlock's version is complete and utter crap. It's like heads and tails. Like the scale is so off tilter, it's madness.
I think the first movie, they had some interesting stuff going. Like Jude Law was incredible. Like
he stole the show.
The play between the two, Jude Law's Watson and Sherlock, like I found that fascinating. And then the action stuff kind of actually got in the way. I mean, it was fun eye candy when, you know, at the time. So when I left the film, I was like, oh yeah, okay, that was okay. But in terms of lasting impression, it's like,
yeah.
I really can't. I was exactly the same, though. Mind you, when I walked away, I really didn't feel satisfied. There was this void, and I really have zero interest in
I think
sequel.
The story was broken. It kind of promised one thing, and it kind of delivered a few other things.
I was bordering on anger when I left.
Yeah.
I will say this. I would love to see Jude Law and Robert Downey Jr. play off of each other in something else.
Yeah.
Something good, because they have really great chemistry.
They do.
But not in here.
The film with, Michael Caine and Jude Law.
Oh, yeah, based on the play.
Yeah, yes. I could sort of see something like that with Robert Downey and Jude Law. I think it would be brilliant.
I agree.
Not some sort of half-ass comedy / action film.
Yeah, agreed. This didn't work. Roman Polanski returns. Now, hopefully you guys are okay with talking about Roman Polanski's movies.
You mean The Rapist? The child rapist?
Okay. Well, we're talking about the director.
I'll be quiet.
Okay. We won't linger on this too much, only to say that so Polanski has a new movie. It's called Carnage, a comedy based, I believe, on a play.
Now I'm conflicted. Go ahead.
Oh, I know, because it looks really good, right?
I didn't notice that it was Polanski directing when I watched the trailer. Yeah.
Yeah, the trailer is pretty awesome. So it stars Jodie Foster, Kate Winslet, and Christoph Waltz, and it's basically two couples that get together after their children have an altercation in the schoolyard, and it's basically like a comedy of errors. Oh, no, a comedy of, not errors, of social mannerisms? I have no idea. It's a social comedy, I guess.
Interactions between two different kinds of couples.
Very different types of couples. Yeah. I think it looks fabulously
fun. It does look good. As much as I loathe the director, I do admit that he's actually good at what he does most of the time.
Most of the time, I agree. I've liked a few of his movies.
Yeah. I'll probably actually BitTorrent it and not feel bad at all that he won't get any money from me.
That is A-OK by me. A-OK by me. No one else really lives, so it's fine by me. I don't even know where
Hunt
he lives,
me
so
down. It's fine by me. Yeah. Hunt me down and we'll have an argument over ethics.
She hasn't, I agree. She hasn't committed the crime yet.
No, yeah. Exactly.
Prove it.
Exactly. Okay. Alvin and the Chipmunks. Is this number two, number three? I have no idea.
Doesn't matter. It's the kids. Yeah, we have Alvin and the Chipmunks
hit
coming
of the year.
Christmas,
if it burns down the theater, it's playing.
If your kids love it, perfect. You know, happy Christmas.
I didn't even watch the trailer.
I didn't either.
Neither did I.
Oh, yeah, trifecta. But it's playing. There you go.
It is what it is, and I'm fine with it. Let's move on.
Exactly. Yeah. December 23rd, dubbed the feel-bad movie of the year. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, David Fincher's take on the hugely successful franchise.
In spite of myself, I'm interested.
Yes, I agree. I'm with you on that one.
It looks pretty good, even with jug ears. Actually, I don't have a problem with Daniel Craig, but yeah, it does look pretty
jug
good.
Jug ears?
Jug ears.
That is the first time I've
That's
heard
what
that.
My aunt calls them, jug ears.
Nice. But she does find him attractive, though, right?
No, not really. No? She complains about him as James Bond because she likes James Bond. It's like, who wants to get up with jug ears?
That's hilarious.
I love you.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, she's okay.
That's pretty awesome.
She has my the family name that should have went for me. She has it. Oh. Erie is an actual family name.
I love it. I love it.
Erie Bell.
So do we really need to wax poetic on the
If you haven't read the book, go read the book and then go see the film and then compare it. Start a book club.
Go for it.
Movie book club.
I'm all for book clubs.
Join Shannon's movie book club.
That's right. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised she didn't put this one on her list. Actually,
yeah,
maybe she's
I'm
already
quite
done
surprised.
It.
I would not be surprised, but yeah, there you go. I'm looking forward to Trent Reznor winning another Oscar. So whatever, man, it's all good by me. Also opening on December 23rd, Mission Impossible: Ghost Protocol. I think this is number four. I have no idea actually.
Yeah.
As much as I want to see Tinker Soldier
Tinker
Candlestick
Taylor.
Maker. I know I'll screw it up. This is the exact opposite scale of Mission Impossible. Like, you know what? I want
you
my spies to be awesome,
I
not
still
sucky.
Want to see this. I think it looks fun.
And
it's Brad Bird.
Brad Bird. I was going to say.
Only thing that draws me to this is I may have to see it because Simon Pegg. Short of that, nothing on it appealed.
I have a personal thing that doesn't stop me from seeing the movie, but I don't think of it as Mission Impossible. Because Mission Impossible was a caper flick with a team effort, and he doesn't do any of that. So this is just another Tom Cruise spy action flick.
Yeah, if it doesn't have that Peter guy in it.
not even so much Peter Graves, but Mission Impossible was the true caper flick kind of thing where you brought a team together and you did something.
Yeah.
And this is just a star vehicle for Tom Cruise to go and do action shit.
Exactly.
So, but I mean, so when I divorce all of that out, it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's, you know,
it looks cool. It has sequences.
Great effects. I think that's probably it. If I just want to go for a mindless action thing.
Yeah.
Because December is not known for mindless action things.
No.
I'll go see it.
You know what? It's the kind of thing
if you're going and you call. I'll go see it.
Yeah, no, I totally want to see it. It's, you know, and that's the thing. It's December, hit September, you sort of start getting into the highly dramatic, and it's hard to be in that mode all the time. And you know what? If it takes Mission Impossible to get me out of it, great. And to be quite honest, I like Tom Cruise. Don't care that he's jumping on couches and being weird. I still like him.
See, I like really good stories with my action, or to be full on B movie. I don't care what the hell's going on. Ludicrousness. Yeah. It's somewhere in between. Things are lost with me, and
yeah, and for me, it's sort of hit and miss. And I know I'm probably not going to love this, but it certainly looks entertaining enough for me for 2 hours. So
I'd watch it on a plane.
Tom Cruise is really hit and miss. There's stuff that I really like him in, and there's stuff that he just comes cold. And the Mission Impossible stuff,
I like him on South Park.
The way that he does the Mission Impossible character doesn't...
Yeah, I have, you know, and that's the thing. Mission Impossible is just one of those franchises where I'm pretty sure I've seen all the movies. I'm pretty sure I've sort of married them all together into one. If you asked me what happens in one, I wouldn't be able to tell you, but they're entertaining enough.
I watch Bourne Identity films.
Yeah, those have just as flawed a story, but I tend to enjoy them more. I just saw the one with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh yeah, which I think was like the last one. I think that was three. I have no idea.
And I actually found, you know, like the other characters more interesting than Tom Cruise.
Well, this is the thing, and that's the thing with this franchise. It's not great, but
I also rewatched Top Gun on TV the other day, and awesome. You know, like, he was awesome in that.
Top Gun is great. You can be my wingman anytime. Okay, we've talked. We've given way too much time to Mission Impossible.
We have.
Let's move on to something else that no one else will be watching.
Speaking of Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg's in it.
He's in Tintin?
Yes, he is.
Fucking A, man.
Nick Frost is too, I'm pretty sure.
Awesome. So we are talking to The Adventures of Tintin. This is... Now, I'm not 100% sure because I haven't really been following this that closely. It's directed by Steven Spielberg. Is this mocap or is it just animated?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Either way, I think it's just animated. It stars Jamie Bell, Andy Serkis, Daniel Craig.
Simon Pegg and I think Nick Frost. I think they're the Thompson twins. Or not Thompson.
Nick Frost is in it, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay. They're the twins.
Did you say Andy Serkis?
Yeah, Andy Serkis. Now, this is interesting because... I don't know how Spielberg became involved with this project because it seems to me like something that is not particularly appealing to North American audiences because most of them don't know Tintin. It's a very international sort of thing, but...
Steven Spielberg might be of an age.
I think the same as my age,
which they were in every single library.
Yeah,
and I read every single Tintin book. I love them. My brother read Asterix. I read Tintin.
That's where I read Tintin.
Let's just clear something else, though. Steven Spielberg is old enough to be your father.
Whatever.
But I do understand what you mean. But I mean, that's the thing. I grew up in Europe. I mean, I watched Tintin the cartoon.
I watched it on the French channel. I always wish it went into English, but it was only French here.
Well, so see, there's the thing. I think there's a small market here, but I don't think it's going to do particularly well with American audiences. Now, it was great on the part of whoever's distributing this, who off the top of my head, I don't actually know who it is, because they released it internationally first, and it's already made a shitload of money.
See, that's good.
Like $200 million or something stupid.
It's a good idea, too, because it looks like it's popular. So.
Well, yeah, it's popular everywhere else except here. Yeah.
Well, I thought they'd already tried to introduce it as a cartoon.
And I think it failed miserably.
It didn't do really well.
No.
Well, if they had introduced it in English.
No, in English, yeah.
Not when I was a kid. There was I looked everywhere.
No, I think it was much later.
I think it was later.
But you know what? If that had come out in like the 70s or the early 80s, because the way the animation is.
Which is when I saw it.
The way the animation is, you'd have built-in audience for it. But now you're going up against... whatever the hell.
Yeah, I don't even know it's popular
the
anymore.
The old style sort of like animation like that, it's not going to go over with the kids who want some sort of
gloss. And I don't think the story is really... And I mean, that's the thing when you're...
The story's ruled.
Well, they ruled for us. I don't know if kids today would find them particularly interesting. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know kids all that well. So, I mean...
They're dumb.
Playing Modern Warfare 3. Seriously, I have no idea what they like anymore.
Yeah.
Your guess is as good as mine, but I don't know. It just seemed to me like this was a failed attempt from the beginning. I'm thrilled to hear that it's doing really well internationally. And it has a really high, the reviews have been extremely positive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I just don't know who else will want to go see it.
Normally I hate anything animated kind of thing. I'm totally looking forward to this. Like mm-hmm. I've had Tintin t-shirts. I went for Halloween one year as Tintin.
That's awesome.
I know.
Did you have a dog?
No, I had a pumpkin with it, carved Snowy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Although, by the end of the day, I finally gave up because not a lot of people were getting it. A few people instantly got it and loved it. They kept on going, because I'm wearing like plus fours, which are the like Argyle socks with the, yeah. So a few people were mistaking me as a golfer, so I changed to Tintin the Golfer.
Tintin the Golfer.
So, carried around the golf club and threatened people with it. It was awesome. And I destroyed Snowy with the golf club. It was quite sad. I cried. Anyway, sorry. What?
Okay, so that's Tintin. Let us move on to extremely loud and incredibly close. Stephen Daldry's new film. Now, he's the director of... when I looked him up, I remember thinking, oh my God, he's done a lot of stuff. Oh yeah, The Hours, Billy Elliot, and The Reader. He's like a 3-time Oscar nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Like the guy just always hits gold. Mind you, I'm not sure this works for me.
Oh, this one has me really interested.
Oh, really? Yeah. I'm really not. This stars Thomas Horne, Tom Hanks, and Sandra Bullock, and it's about a 9-year-old boy that... goes around town looking for something.
Well, it's sort of a treasure hunt. Yeah. His... Father. I mean, I'm not sure why they needed to have his father killed in 9/11.
It's based on a book.
But, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So his father dies, and he finds a key, and he goes looking for what the key opens. And, I mean, that's the barest possible mm-hmm. description.
Yeah.
But it had a charm to it, actually. It kind of like a detective story with some other overtones in it. I was really curious.
I really like the title a lot. I really like the title.
I'm not sure what the title has to do with the story.
Well, neither do I, but it's catchy.
I think extremely close to his father and incredibly loud is something else.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't pretend to understand it, but I do really like the title.
Yeah, it didn't do much for me.
No, it didn't really work for me. Okay, one that I am super excited for.
Oh, this trailer, man.
Fucking A, man.
I read the description and I'm like, I just looked at the trailer, it's like, whoa, this is going to be good.
I know. Dan is really excited about this. He's like, hey, did you see there's a new trailer? I'm like, yes, dear. I realized that. So, The Darkest Hour, this brings Chris Gorak, who wrote and directed Right at Your Door, with my favorite Russian dude, Timur Bekmambetov.
Yeah,
takes a group of American kids to Russia.
I know his style.
It's going to be fucking awesome.
I saw this trailer and it's like, if this dude, I couldn't remember his name, but Timur. It's like, if this dude isn't involved, I'll eat my shorts. This just has his signature on it.
It does, doesn't it? Hence why, you know, they go to Russia, of course. When was the last time we had a cool movie set in Russia? It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
The one
we rest our case.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So this stars
Hannah.
Neil.
No, that was in Germany, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think so. So this stars Emil Hirsch and Olivia Thirlby, who happened to be in, you know, in Russia for a holiday or something, and aliens invade and all shit goes wrong, and oh my God, it looks so awesome.
What I did over the summer was an awesome Russian film.
Yes, what I did last summer, right?
Yeah, I love that film. Man. It's embedded in my head. Anyway, sorry.
So that's The Darkest Hour. It looks so awesome. I don't think I could be more excited for a movie ever.
I'm not that excited. It looks good. I might see it, but yeah. It
looks awesome. Okay, also opening on the 23rd, Cameron Crowe returns with We Bought a Zoo. Somebody, I can't remember who, somebody told me they cried when they watched this trailer.
Really?
And yeah, now that I've seen the trailer, I'm kind of like, really?
Yeah. It's, you know, for people that like Cameron Crowe doing... do you want to line up the story?
Do I have to? So Matt Damon moves his family to California and ends up, I don't know if he's renting or buying a house that happens to be in a zoo.
First off, you don't check on the property before you buy it?
Well, no, the guy in the trailer says there's one problem with the property, and then you hear like a lion or something roar, and he's like, it's in the zoo. And the little girl goes, yay!
That part, okay, that part of the trailer I laughed.
Oh, yeah, it was cute.
I thought he had already bought it and then found
out. No, not yet.
Oh, no. Okay, never mind.
No. So, I mean, it you know, it's that father connecting with his kid's story by Cameron Crowe, and it's Christmas, and okay, I see exactly what this is, and if it's your thing, here's your movie.
What I hate about myself is that Matt Damon looks really good in this trailer.
He does. I mean,
Damon just looks good.
And I would totally see it from Matt Damon, but not in the
and
theater.
And actually, I'm not a big Thomas Hayden Church fan.
But
like,
he looks
he's
good
really
here.
Hit and miss, but yeah, the chemistry between him and Damon
looks good.
So there was some things about this movie I thought, well, you know, if it wasn't $15.
And Cameron Crowe and really bad choice in trailer music.
I mean, I'll catch it on TV.
Yeah, I may, you know, find a DVD somewhere when it comes out on DVD, but that's about it. Okay.
But I suspect there's going to be a group of people that really dig this movie.
No, I agree. Okay, also opening on the 23rd, also limited release, Angelina Jolie making her directorial debut in The Land of Blood and Honey, which it's a story that takes place during the Bosnian War between a man and a woman on opposite sides of the war, I guess. I'm not really sure what to say other than I was surprised that I didn't hate the trailer. I thought it actually looked pretty decent. Not really one I was interested in seeing, except out of pure curiosity about what Angelina Jolie could do behind the camera.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's just not my cup of tea. But
yeah, it wasn't my style of story either. So. No,
trailer looked really good, but I'm not all that excited to see it.
No,
it's kind of weird that way.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I didn't really care for the trailer at all, but I was really surprised that it looked pretty well made. So, hey, go figure. Moving on to Pina, Wim Wenders musical documentary presented in glorious 3D when it played here at VIFF. I have no idea who Pina Bausch is. She's some sort of world-class choreographer.
Another one that I didn't watch the trailer for.
Yeah, you know what? I saw the trailer when it played during VIFF because I was vaguely curious about seeing it, but it just didn't do anything for me. It looked really pretty in that
one. Trailer looked amazing.
Yeah.
Again, not interested in seeing a full-on two-hour film on dance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just not my thing. Though I would have seen Flamenco, no problem.
You'd see Step It Up 47. Let's be honest there.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, in 40.
I will tell you.
You say that, but I'm with Colleen on this
step
one.
No.
Oh, dude,
Revenge of the Steppas.
I totally wouldn't. Like, you would have to have something interesting in
with
order
Vin
to sell
Diesel.
Me. Yeah. Okay, that one then. I would see it.
And The Rock.
You know what?
And a dance off.
Oh my god, that's the greatest movie ever!
But you know who has to be the judge?
Who?
Guy from Zoolander.
Ben Stiller?
No, the guy who judged in that. Why can't I think of his name? Ziggy Stardust. Never mind.
David Bowie?
David Bowie, yes. He has to be the judge of the dance-off between Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Vin Diesel.
You just explained the greatest movie of all time that will never get made.
Exactly.
Though I will admit this, I stayed up very late, I think it was Thursday night, watching the first hour of Honey, which I hadn't seen in a long time.
Oh my.
Yes, I did admit that just now. Yeah.
Jessica Alba still alive?
Yes, she is. She has a movie that was just released on Netflix.
Oh.
Yep. Okay. Finishing off the year in rather undramatic style, Steven Spielberg with his second movie this year, and the one that looks god-awful bad, War Horse. Can we talk about Spielberg for a minute here?
Equestrian Gallipoli.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know.
I mean, either this trailer is so misrepresentative of the movie or this movie is bad.
This movie is bad.
I mean, or the story is uninteresting, maybe is more polite way of saying it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, no, the story was just like, why should I care about this? I don't...
It's a horse. It should be eaten.
Well, okay, I wouldn't go that far, but I am. You say, it's a horse, and I'm like, and?
Oh, horses, of this course, is, of course, of course.
It kind of reminded me of like a boy and his dog story, only the dog is a horse. You know, it's just
but
like
it looks
he loses
so less
a dog.
Interesting, though.
I know.
It's like, seriously, this is the trailer? Wow. Okay, so at least they'll have one good movie this year.
I mean, you know, the one unique thing about this movie that I found interesting was the fact that it was World War One. Like, how often
yeah,
do we
that
get
is very true.
Americans caring about World War One?
Mm-hmm.
But other than that,
I don't think they are going to care.
They're not going to care.
They're going to go and try to care about the horse. Maybe. Who knows? I have no idea. Okay, so I'm not going to pronounce this in its native language because I have absolutely no idea how to say it. But a separation is, let's just say, a huge hit with every festival it's played at. It's a fan favorite. It's about a couple who is in the middle of a divorce. It played like gangbusters at VIFF. It seems to play like gangbusters everywhere it plays. I still haven't seen it, but apparently it's really awesome.
Let's go with that.
The trailer looks okay.
Trailer looks okay. It's not something I normally go out of my way to see.
Yeah, hence why I skipped it when it played VIFF, but everybody that saw it had nothing but raves for it, mm-hmm. So go figure. And I didn't watch the trailer for Pariah, so I have absolutely no idea what it's even about. Let's see.
Oh, I did. It's not my kind of story. It's
a girl that does not fit in, yeah. And they're trying to, her family sort of trying to push her towards being more like everyone else, I guess.
Yeah, well, and there's the
society pressures on her, and she's not going to take it.
It's a coming of age flick too, yeah. And there's some, at least according to the trailer I saw, some lesbian overtones. Or
I don't
not
know
even
it,
overtones.
I don't know if it's lesbian or transgender. It was pretty vague, that part of it. So, I don't know.
I can't comment because I didn't watch the trailer. I ran out of time.
Yeah,
didn't
I
do anything.
I mean,
me.
It didn't really interest me either.
I'm all for coming of age films, but I just totally didn't connect with the subject. So, and not surprising, it's, you know, a black girl and I'm a white male and.
Yeah,
but then,
much.
You know, I guess, you know, having said that, there have been stories with completely different characters coming of age that I have.
That work that
have
worked
transcended.
For you.
And yeah, I didn't get that from the trailer.
Yeah. And that's it.
That's December.
You know what? It's a pretty shitty month. Other than there's girl with the dragon tattoo, Tinker
I'm
Taylor's
actually. December is usually pretty busy with, you know, Christmas and everything.
So it's not too bad.
I'm okay.
Yeah,
there's enough standout movies that I can sneak away and
you
have some
the
fun.
Darkest Hour.
Yeah. And that's kind of it. But like usually I'm running around
we
trying
to. We need
to
talk about Calvin.
Well, and that's the thing. Some of these aren't going to open here for a little while, which is actually quite good. Because usually I find December I fall so far behind that I can't catch up until like March.
Yeah.
So, and considering I'm already 2.5 months behind, this is great. I may actually get to see some movies.
Breather.
Yeah, thankfully. The only, you know, the first thing theatrically that I got to see after VIFF was Take Shelter.
Oh, yeah?
Like 4 weeks later. I saw that last week or the week before.
I saw Three Musketeers.
Ooh.
Yeah,
and?
I got very angry. I knew I was, but
boy,
I just...
Yeah, we could see that one coming.
I felt the compulsion. It is based on Dumas. I need to see it, no matter how much it hurts.
Yeah, I do want to see that. The list of what I want to see is long and pathetic, so I'm not even going to go there. But yeah, that's December. I'm ready for 2012. Like, badly, I want 2012 to start, like, tomorrow. So I can, like, start from scratch and wipe away the year that's been, like, a disaster waiting to happen.
See, I want to be chilling in the hot tub waiting for the next film to be starting next week.
So, yes, we will be back probably later this week in a couple of days' time. We'll post our Whistler preview. I'm very, very excited. Whistler Film Festival is turning into a regular trip for us. This is our third year. Your second year up.
Second year. Did you go last year?
I did.
2 years ago?
I did. Dan and I went up by ourselves. So it's going to prove to be a really, really great festival. So, but we'll be back to talk a little preview of that and probably after the festival to wrap things up. So that's it for now. Be sure to come on by row3.com for all of your, we have some new writers, so lots of stuff happening on the website. Come on by and listen to the other podcasts, and we'll be back shortly. Until next time,
we'll see you after the credits.
Talking night, walking games. Oh, she's known in the darkest clubs for pushing ahead of the dames. If she says she can't do it, then she can't do it. She don't make false claims. But she's a queen, and such a queen that your laughter is sucked in the brains. Now she's leading them on, and you lay it right down. So I